Our guest at this time is Dr. Larry Hunter of the patient rights group Patients First. He is also a senior fellow at Americans for Prosperity and is president of the Social Security Institute. President Obama on Wednesday held yet another town hall meeting advancing his version of massive health care reform for this country, including a public or government-sponsored option. Dr. Hunter says that's exactly the wrong way to go. And, sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be with you.
You have recently written an opinion piece published at the American Spectator's website, spectator.org, that says what you're basically going to see is a massive bureaucracy, and it's going to be about as personal as the DMV or the IRS. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I'm afraid that's the case, and that Barack Obama illustrated exactly what I mean at the town hall meeting he held at the White House earlier this week when a woman asked him about her 100-year-old mother, who had a pacemaker installed or implanted after initially being turned down. And the reason she got it is when the doctor saw what a vital person she was, he made an intuitive judgment. And when the daughter of that mother asked Barack Obama, would this kind of decision be possible under his proposal, he stumbled around and finally said, well, people are just going to have to realize that sometimes they can't have a procedure. They just have to take a pain pill and get over it. And I think that illustrates the problem. It's not that Barack Obama is a bad man. He's probably a very good man with good intentions. But when you turn government over to a bureaucracy to run, what you end up with is DMV medicine, bureaucratic medicine.
And how will that work? What will be the process by which medical decisions then are made on whether patients get drugs, get treatments, get procedures, and so forth?
Well, what will happen is it will be so expensive it will break the bank. And then the government will be faced with this horrible dilemma. Do they raise taxes to pay for it? They can't raise taxes that much. They'll kill the economy. Do they borrow money to pay for it? They can't borrow that much money. They'll destroy the dollar. So they will be left with only one alternative, and that is to squeeze all health care into their budget. And the only way they will be able to do that is to ration health care. And, of course, when that happens, it will be the oldest, the sickest, and the frailest among us who suffer, who go to the back of the line, who get care delayed, and ultimately denied.
What kind of conditions might be included in that, Dr. Hunter?
Well, there's a very good example already. We don't even have to wait for whatever the administration decides to propose. They have already started a process of restricting what are called hospital readmissions for senior citizens. And it works like this. If you're a senior citizen on Medicare and you come out of the hospital, if for some reason you have a relapse and you have to go back into the hospital, what they call a hospital readmission, within 30 days of your discharge, the government is already beginning to tighten the screws and make it more difficult for you to get back into the hospital. They're literally starting to lock the doors of hospitals to old people. And this is before this gigantic bureaucratic system that they're going to have to put in place is erected. And so we can see already the glimmerings of what it's going to look like.
The current healthcare system, of course, is spending a whole lot of money, and certainly any sort of government healthcare program, Medicare, Medicaid, hemorrhaging money as well. What do you see as the smart approach here? What's going to make our healthcare system more fiscally responsible, more fiscally safe and on good footing, but also provide the treatment that's necessary?
In my mind, there are two issues here. The first issue is the people falling through the cracks in the current system. 85% of the American people, although they gripe, it's a great American tradition, but 85% of the American people are basically satisfied. So you're talking about 15% who are not satisfied. You're talking something on the order of 15 to 20 million people who somehow fall through the cracks. That doesn't mean they don't get care. Nobody in this country really goes without care, but they fall through the cracks of the sort of the standard system. Right? So the first thing we have to ask is how do we fix those problems without destroying the system for the 85 or 90% of the people that it works for? Don't let the tail wag that dog. And number two is then what do you do to fix the overall system that everybody recognizes, even though we have the best medical care in the world, everybody recognizes there are problems with it. And if you look at this carefully, people have looked at it over the years, and it's very clear that the fundamental problem with the existing system is there are too many people and institutions between healthcare providers and patients. You have employers standing in the middle. You have insurance companies standing in the middle. You have the government standing in the middle. And that so distorts incentives that it leads to this vast overconsumption and misallocation. And all national health care will do is to put the government even more in the middle and further distort decisions and blow this system right out of the water.
We're talking with Dr. Larry Hunter of Patients First, Americans for Prosperity, as well as the Social Security Institute. Dr. Hunter, take us inside how these decisions will be made. You said it will be based on the weakest and the frailest and so forth, and they will ultimately be denied care to save money, and ultimately that means they will suffer and eventually probably die earlier than they would have otherwise as a result of that. But take us inside the bureaucracy. What will someone miles away from the situation be looking at to determine whether or not someone's going to get treatment?
Well, here again, we don't have to wait because the administration and Congress have already begun taking steps. In the so-called stimulus bill that they passed, they had buried in there, in bureaucratic jargon, the mechanism that they plan to use once the system is up and running. Your listeners should pay close attention to these words. It's jargon, but it's very important. It's called comparative effectiveness research, and that's nothing in the world but an innocuous-sounding label for a rationing board. What they will do, and what they're already preparing to do, is to put all treatment, medications, procedures through basically a formula, a bureaucratic test in terms of what the bureaucrats determine on a number of different variables so that when it's all said and done, let me give you a simple example. If you need a hip replacement, or in the case of the woman at the White House that I spoke of earlier, if you need a pacemaker, they will ask a variety of questions. But basically it goes like this. How old are you? How sick are you? How long are you likely to live if you have this procedure? And is it cost effective? In other words, will you live long enough to enjoy the benefits? Well, you don't have to have higher mathematics to understand that the older you are, the more difficult it's going to be to pass that test. And in fact, we've already seen in Britain and Canada where they use this exact system that what happens is the bureaucrats determine that you are too old, you won't live long enough to enjoy the full benefits, and so therefore it's not, quote, cost effective, unquote, and they will either put you at the back of a very long line or they will deny the procedure outright. But in medical care, as in legal justice, health care delayed really is health care denied, and that's what we're looking at here, long lines and bureaucrats.
Very disturbing picture of what may be just down the road. Dr. Hunter, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Dr. Larry Hunter of Patients First, he's a senior fellow at Americans for Prosperity, and he's president of the Social Security Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.